Well, when people dabble in the occult, what are they really trying to do?
I think they're trying to learn about themselves. I think we have a hunger for self-knowledge, and we pursue that in different ways. Some people pursue it through therapy. Some people pursue it through the mainstream religions. Some people pursue it through the study of philosophy. And some people want to look to crafts that come out of folklore, that come out of the ancient traditions, that come out of the hearts of the traditional religious faiths, that really help us understand something about ourselves and the natural world. It's all about the pursuit of self-knowledge. The ancients believed in an expression that goes something like, as above, so below. They believed that the natural world reflected man's inner state. So if you could learn something, for example, about the configuration of the cosmos at the time of your birth, you could learn something about your innermost state.
Did mainstream religion, were they the ones that really started getting people to back away from this word occult?
Absolutely. In fact, the word pagan, which we take to mean a pre-Christian believer in a pantheon of gods, the word pagan was originally a derogatory term from early Latin that meant something like a country bumpkin. When Christianity began to rise to a place of prominence in the Roman Empire, the news tended to travel slowly to the more outer-lying villages and hamlets. And people in the more rural parts of the empire still tended to practice the old ways, that is to say, the nature-based religions. And these people were called pagans or villagers. And the church authorities at that time were in a tremendous struggle for the hearts and minds of the populace. And they began to associate the old earth-based religions with something called Satanism, which had never existed for the worshippers of the pre-Christian gods. This was, to a very great extent, an invention of the early church. It was an attempt to associate the old nature-based religions with something sinister, and that continues to this day. Just a few weeks ago, I was in the town of Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
Everybody knows Salem, Massachusetts, which was the site of America's own infamous witch trials. Now, it so happens today, Salem is a lovely town with a lot of New Age shops up and down its main street. And there was a mom with her daughter in one of these New Age shops, and the daughter wanted to buy a necklace with the symbol of the pentagram on it, the five-pointed star.
Yes.
And the mom, being completely well-intentioned, said to her daughter, "No, that's an evil symbol, and I'm not going to buy that for you." Now, I wouldn't tell anybody what to bring into their home. I mean, it's a private matter. But the fact is, this pentagram, this five-pointed star, it's a symbol of tremendous power and magnetism. There's a reason, I think, why this young girl was attracted to it. It's intended to be a symbol of natural man. The five points are intended to symbolize our head, our two arms, our two legs. And yet that symbol, which was really just intended to be a representation of the human form, was associated with something malevolent in the early days of the church, and we've never been able to shake that. However, we've also never been able to shake the symbol, because there is something in that symbol that draws us back to it again and again and again.
Well, you know, it's the same thing, Mitch, with the symbol of the swastika, which is at least 3,000 years old.
Yes, sir.
But nowadays, all of us, when you look at it, it looks evil. You think of Hitler, you think of the Nazis. And,
yes.
And prior to that, prior to Hitler and the Nazi Party using it as their emblem or logo, the swastika was just a nice symbol, wasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It's a symbol of rebirth. It's a symbol of regeneration. Here in my apartment, I have a statue of the Hindu god Ganesh, and he is outstretching his palm, and on his palm is the image of a swastika. This is an ancient image that symbolized rebirth. You find it in ancient Hinduism. You also find similarities to it in certain Native American traditions. It was a symbol of fertility. It was a symbol of regeneration. And the Nazis came along and twisted it into something obscene. And because of that, I think it's been lost to us forever.
I think so, too. I don't think it will ever anybody will ever be able to turn it around to its old heyday and what it was really meant for.
It's a misfortune.
It's gone.
Yes, it's gone. There's so much tragedy attached to it that I think it's impossible to revive it. But this is what we do with some of these ancient symbols. We take them and we attach something to them that they were never associated with throughout centuries, if not millennia.
Well, because one of the things people remember, and you put things, you associate things with what you remember, and unfortunately, the swastika is associated with evil and Hitler and the Nazi Party, and that's one of the reasons people won't forget. It's probably one of the reasons, too, why the word the occult has got these feelings of dark, much similar to voodoo, by the way, and I'm going to tell you a story about that in a second. But
yes.
When I hear the word occult, even me, mm-hmm. I think of the Black Mass,
yes.
Satan worshippers,
yes.
all of which is probably nuts. I think of bad witches, not Wiccans, but you know, evil witches,
yeah.
And things like that. And I can't get that out of my mind now. That's what I think of. I think of kids who have gone bad,
mm-hmm.
and do evil things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think of when I hear the word the occult, and I can't get it out of my head.
You know, honestly, I don't think in the Western tradition there even is any such thing as Satanism or Satan worship. I think it is something that was entirely invented by the early institutional church. It had nothing to do with the direct teachings of Christ. I think it was something that was invented as a method of institutional warfare to associate the so-called pagan religions with something malevolent, to scare people, to want to keep people away from those traditions. Now, for example, we associate the idea of horns protruding from a figure's head with Satanism.
The devil, right.
Right. Had no such association in antiquity, no such association whatsoever. Horns appeared on the head of ancient gods as symbols of wisdom and enlightenment. In some cases, you will see figures represented with horns coming from their head. In other cases, you will see figures represented with rays of light coming from their head. The association was the same. But the early church, which was engaged in a kind of cultural warfare with the traditions of paganism, tended to associate all these images with some kind of maleficence or evil.